Car guys, car gals, we are back for a little bit more of Bruin Solutions. This is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
This is Fred Lenarts, the subprime hero.
And right here with us is, let's see, he's right there.
Yeah, you're pointing the right way.
Right here. This guy right here. Mr. Russ
Man.
Let's go ahead and hit that intro, folks. Car guys,
that's
car
right.
Guys, welcome back. We are so excited. Hey, real quick, everybody, we want to make sure that we get this out to as many people that want to brew solutions as possible. So go ahead and share this right.
If you're listening to it, share the podcast. If you're watching it, share this YouTube channel. Please make sure that you all listen to what this man, Russ Man, has to say.
Yes. Car guys, car gals, that's what we're saying. We are here with a man that is brewing solutions
for
you. It is Russ Man. Do you not know who Russ Man is? Folks.
Well, you will.
Car guys. It's Russ Man.
Russ Man, what's up?
Russ
Man.
What's up, Russ Man? So, Russ is the VP of sales for an awesome company, PermaShield.
PermaShield.
Wow, this is the newest, greatest tire. Just we'll talk about it some more. Y'all are going to love this stuff. This guy is a longtime car guy. He didn't just work on the vendor side. He was a car guy well before that. So then he jumped onto the vendor side. So we're excited to hear his journey, how he went from beginning to the end, where he's at. Now it's not the end. It's the beginning of his new journey. But we'll talk about all that. And once again,
hey, you know what we got to do.
Oh, we know what's
we
up.
We know what we got to do first. If we first are going to make it happen, folks, first things first. We are going to continue this culture to keep growing. And as we do so, we have to stick it with the three F's, folks.
That's right.
Now, Russ is familiar with the ways of the Car Guy Coffee Clan, and we are excited to join our forces together like the mighty ducks and fly together. Are y'all ready? On three, car guys and car gals, join with me as we forgive, focus, fly. One, two, three.
Forgive.
Focus.
Fly.
Hey,
that's right. Let's brew, folks.
Let's get ready for this five liner, folks, because, man, Russ is definitely bubbling over with some good information. I know it.
All right, Russ. So we ask these five questions to everybody that comes on the show. Now, the questions may differ, but the first one's always the same. What is your why? What motivates you every single day to get up and do what you do and do that extra step to make it better?
Yeah. So really what gets me up every day is the ability to help other people become successful. And I think that why is very broad for me because I don't think it's just about my business. I don't think it's about just about PermaShield. It's about me personally helping other people become successful at whatever it is that they do. It's absolutely why I get up in the morning. I could feel it when I was a kid. Like, wow, I really felt great to be able to assist someone else to be successful, teach someone else to play ball a little bit better, differently, or in another way that they might not have thought of. That's absolutely the thing that gets me up every day is trying to figure out ways that I can help other people become successful. Because I know if I'm kind and I help others, those things will come back to me. And I really do believe that, and I have faith in that. That's me. That's why I do what I do.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a great reason to do what you do. When you say that you're trying to help people grow and stuff, you're absolutely doing that right now. And I know that what your purpose is much more than just what you're doing right now. And you're going to see that as you do this more and more, and you're going to touch more people using social media, using whatever you need to, whatever it takes for you to be able to build your current brand that you're working for, but also your personal brand. Cause you have a personal brand. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the show is that you're starting to stick out, not like a sore thumb, but like a perfect thumb. You know what I mean? Like a good thumb. People are starting to notice you. And I see it on social media. And I think you see it yourself. And I think you're noticing, hey, this stuff does work. And, man, we applaud you. I'll tell you this. I had a conversation with my father-in-law. Now, he's a retired military member. He's got MS, but he's a mechanic. He always fixed every car he ever had. He likes to build. But because he has MS, it's kind of slowed him down quite a bit. But I was over there helping him out with some stuff at the house. You know, he just had a new barn built out and all this stuff. So I'm out here helping him out. And then I said, yeah, I have to redo this interview with Russ. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, I said, well, he works for PermaShield. He goes, I've heard of PermaShield. He knows exactly who you guys are. So I could tell, and that's crazy. All the way here in Kentucky, you know, a guy who doesn't even, he's not in the car business, but he is all about new products. He's all about things that can make something better. And he's already heard about you guys without even hearing it from me. So that's wow. pretty neat. The reach is out there. So just remember, just keep doing it. It's just the reach is going to get better. So I'm excited about that for you. Lou, you know, you want to touch on that at all? You know,
I mean, the type of people that we want to brew with are the people that are genuine about helping somebody with what it is that they have, whatever the product is, whatever the process, whatever the book, that it actually brings a way to help somebody with an actual problem. I mean, we'll speak more on it. We got a lot more brewing to do, but if there's anything that Russ Mann makes sure that he is part of, it's a solution that is bringing value, true, measurable value. And it's exciting. It's something that we're excited about and very motivated to try to find out how to make sure we implement it inside of our store in our neck of the woods, because we want to make sure to be a champion of his brand, not just here on the show, folks, but on the tires of our customers as well.
Absolutely. It's something that it's a duty for you to try to always give your customer the best product. It's your duty to always present that to your people and explain that to friends and family even. Hey, look, this is a superior product that can really benefit you. I mean, obviously I've seen the videos and we'll talk about that some more, man. That was really great testimonial. I love the way you did that. And we'll get into that some more. I'm glad we kind of get to do this now. So we're going to get into the second question. The same second question asked before, what did you do before you got in auto biz, my friend?
So before I got in the car business, I was a, I just got married. I had young kids and stuff. So I was a, I did insurance and stockbroking. So I moved to Utah, and I was actually born in Taiwan. I moved to Colorado when my father was in the Army, Vietnam. And so we moved to Colorado. That's where we were stationed until I was about 3 years old, and then he retired. So I was really lucky in the fact that I grew up in the same house, the same people. I mean, we went through kindergarten all the way through high school with that I still have friends with today. So once we moved there, I went to college for a little while, kind of fell in love, you know, did all that kind of thing, and then moved to Utah and started with in financial services and selling stocks and bonds and insurance and all that kind of good stuff. And then it just wasn't working. It wasn't making me enough money. I wasn't happy with it. You know, you're talking 1992 in Utah. I knew not a single person, and so. That's what I did before I got to where I'm at today.
I mean, that's a journey. You know, obviously being a military person, a brat, as I call it, because my dad was in the Army 20 years, retired here at Fort Knox, Kentucky. I was fortunate enough to be in Fort Carson for a little while. We were there for almost 3.5 years. My brother was born there. So, you know, being out that, you know, being able to do that, but having that type of, you know, being a military child, there's something about that. It taught you a little bit more culture. So able to connect with people quicker and understand where they're coming from, because everybody comes from somewhere different, but we all have something in common. And that's how we want to be treated right. We don't, you know, no matter where you come from, right?
Yeah. My brothers are 10 and 11 years older than I am. So they got they used to give me crap about it until one day my mom's like, just stop. Mm-hmm. His life was different than your life, right? You know, but they traveled all over the world. They were in Japan and Taiwan and you know, half a dozen places across the United States before they were 11, 12 years old, right? So they got to travel the world. And on the opposite side, yeah, I was kind of the only child, the spoiled kid, but in the same regard, they had positive things happening that you just talked about. Right. Being able to adapt. Both my brothers could talk to anybody at any time, at any moment, without regard to anything. Right. Right? They can strike up a conversation no matter where they're at. And I think that's a product of that growing up in so many different places and foreign languages and all those things. So
100%.
It's a big deal.
When you move around that much, you know, if you wanted to meet friends, you had to be forward. You had to go out and say, hey, how you doing? Yeah. I'm Fred. Do you like to play basketball? You know, what do you like to do? You know, let's hang out. You know, and so you had to learn to be that way really quick and to read people really fast. But, I mean, yes, you are, like you said, you were at the tail end of your father's enlistment. You know, you were born in overseas. I was, too. I was born in South Korea. And then, so you're a U.S. citizen born abroad. You're just like me. You have a weird freaking birth certificate.
And huge.
Yeah, it's really weird. You know, every time
consulate document report of birth or something like that. It comes from the U.S. consulate in the country that you were born in. And it comes from the State Department. And it's literally like 15 by 9.5. It's a huge piece of paper.
Yeah, no doubt. So I definitely know what you're talking about. So, but that's cool though. I mean, you know, being able to do that, you didn't get to really travel, no remembering travel. You said most of your life you were in Colorado. So your dad probably retired there, I'm assuming. That's what you said. Yep. I shouldn't assume that's exactly what you said. But but that being said, Colorado is still where you were at, was still a lot of culture there, you know, whether it be from, you know, Mexico, there's a lot of Mexican culture there. There's a lot of Asian culture there even. I know there is, but there's also every type of culture in that little melting pot. So it's a cool place to be and it's a beautiful place. Then you go to Utah. Wow. Utah is a awesome, beautiful state, man. I've only been able to go one time and I went through it. It's when I was stationed out in Tucson, Arizona, and I went through there and really, really, really unique place, man. And now you are currently in Arizona, right?
Yep. I live in a suburb of Phoenix called Avondale.
Yeah,
outside of Phoenix, a few minutes from the Arizona Cardinals and the Arizona Coyotes. And so it's a beautiful place. We love it. We've been here since 2012. We moved down from Utah. And I got to Utah before my dad was raised, was in Utah before he enlisted. He actually enlisted in the Army when he was 17 years old. He lied about his age to get into the Army early.
Wow.
But
you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah. That right. When there was no internet, there was no documentation that you said, oh, are you 18? Yeah, I'm 18. Yep. Okay. Go. You're in.
Yeah. You go. That was it.
There you go.
That was it.
They take you. Yeah. So, you know, obviously that's a unique story. I'm glad that we got to, I'm glad you answered it that way. I didn't know that about you. That's really neat to know that you were born overseas and that your father was that long in the military and, you know, he served all over the world. So that's pretty awesome. You know, and being a military child, though, is a big deal. You know, I take it as a big deal. I was very proud to be that my father was in the military, that he served the country, which gave me a lot of pride in my country as a patriot, the whole nine. So that's really cool. So third question, my friend, since you've been in this business, who has been the biggest influence to you?
So the biggest influence, and it's not just in business, but it's in life in general. That's my parents, and especially my dad. My dad instilled a work ethic in me that is pretty hard to beat. I mean, his ethics and his ability to say yes to people, even though and to do the right thing. Is really the piece of what I got out of him. And then my mom, you know, I'll touch a little bit about my mom. She's the one that taught me to love everybody. Hmm. That it didn't really matter who you were, but they were someone special regardless of their situation. So I think that in combination, my parents, my dad's work ethic and my dad's ethics, and my mom's love for people and her ability to interact with everyone, I think were a huge influence on my life. Certainly on the way that I think today. But as I grow up through the car business, I had a couple of managers, in the car business. One, who really kind of taught me that, taking care of the customer is the first thing that you should do. And then negotiate is the second. His name was Randy Peterson. I worked at Peterson Motors in Ogden, Utah. When I got out of financial services in February of 93, I went to work for a motor company in Ogden, Utah. And he's the one that really, my father had passed away. He was really the one that mentored me and into adulthood into being the car person that I am today, to take care of customers, to do the things every day that you're supposed to do, walk the lot, make sure you're paying attention to your inventory, you know, make sure you're following up with your customers, make sure you're following up with your sold customers, right? Because one customer turns into four customers. And then, as an influence as a manager, it's someone that helps to train and build teams. That mentor for me was a gentleman by the name of Chet Irie. And Chet was still works as a vice president now with Credit Acceptance. I spent many years with Credit Acceptance. And he's the one that really taught me the responsibility of managing other people. Because it's not fit for everybody, and it can be taught, it can be learned, but you have to work at it, and you have to be active. You can't be reactionary, you know. You got to be like calm. when stuff comes at you, just don't react. You'll be fine, right? Those are probably the four people in my life that have influenced me the most that got me to what I do today.
Wow. You know, you seem like you've been very lucky to have people like that. Obviously, having parents that were, you know, great, great role models for you growing up, you know, that's such a big part of being able to establish yourself as a young person, because sometimes it takes years to learn how to be a good person if you don't have that already, that foundation, you know, and sometimes it's impossible. You know, not impossible. Sometimes it just never happens, I should say.
Right. And it took me a long time. Like, I was probably 25, 26 years old and had been in the car business for a couple of years before I really figured out what it was to be, and I don't want to use the word a man, but someone that took responsibility for the people and the things that were around him.
That's a man, Russ man.
Right. Yeah, right. But I think that at the end of the day, it's a human, right?
Oh, okay. That's a better word. I love it.
Right. So right. They taught me how to be a human and to take responsibility for my own actions. Because I didn't always do that when I was in high school and college and when I first, you know, got married and stuff. I, you know, oh, mom, help me. My dad would be looking at me and be like, you should be helping yourself, son. Yeah. Right. And so, it takes a while to mature through that and to get, you know, to that point in your life where, you know, you feel like you're comfortable and you don't need any help. And those accomplishments are there. If you don't get acknowledged for those accomplishments, I think that time takes even longer. Like, I think, you know, so most guys is 25, 26, 27 years old, then they start to see the accomplishments of their work. Some people it's 18, right? Some people it's 20. For me, it was about 24, 25 years old before I finally realized, like, wow, I could do this. I can make money and I can be responsible. And I mean, the light bulb finally clicked, right? I feel pretty fortunate to have been in that spot in the first place to even realize and understand, you know, what that was like and what I was going through at the time. And I credit my mom really for helping me to understand that.
That's awesome.
And that's a process that you have to go through in a constant spot of being able to receive and then be able to release what it is that you have. So being able to take in lessons, take in leadership, take in mentorship, take in correction, take in literally manning up is something that you were able to take then utilize. And we usually don't find the importance of some of our lessons that we received from our mentors or our parents or teachers, leaders. We don't really even get that lesson yet until we're trying to give it. You know what I mean? We don't even really get it to click all the way until we see it come alive after we teach it to someone else. And that's something that you're blessed to be able to have is great people that were pouring into you and being the solutionary that you are pouring that back out. You know, Fred loves some Bruce Lee. I love some Bruce Lee. If you don't love Bruce Lee, I don't know what else you could love. Besides an incredible Bruce Lee movie and philosophy, but he always speaks about, we often, you'll hear Fred quote or hear us quote about being an empty cup. Mm-hmm. And that cup being emptied and then being refilled is a vital part to any process. And it's awesome that somebody like Russ, man, Russ, if I just think about having your name and how many, just how punny I can be with just speaking to people. I would use that so much, especially with my son. Be like, boy, what's your name? What is your last name?
Oh, you better man.
You know what I mean? You better man up, boy. You know what I mean? I can feel that.
The shirts, you know, would be cool to say man up, man.
Yeah, so it's my name. Man is
that
my
would
name.
Be, hey, that's your show. Yeah. If you ever decide you want to do a podcast, I'll back and I will help you out. It's called Man Up.
Man Up.
I would love that. I'd be a guest on that show. I would love that show.
All day. That, I mean, that's the show.